Salvate Discipuli and Salvate Omnes. Welcome again to another episode of Latin in Layman. We're going to be doing another myth over Heracles. So, it's going to be a little bit kind of in that realm of like bedtime story type of dealio. So maybe you're just relaxing. Maybe you're outside, you're hammocking, you're enjoying some nice weather. Maybe you're inside, you're all snuggled up. Maybe it's a rainy day. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a snowy day. Maybe it's at night. Maybe you're in the morning. That being said, though, I would really, really, really like to go ahead and appreciate you for being here. Thank you. You could be doing a lot of other things, and you're choosing to spend your time with me. That being said, I could use some support. If you have not already considered it, I have a Ko-fi where you can leave me a tip if you feel like you've garnered some, I don't know, happiness or joy, or you've gleaned some information, or you learned something new about this myth, or maybe put you to bed by basket, and you're like, Liam, thank you so much for getting me to sleep. I am kind of an insomniac, but for some reason, your voice puts me to bed. People have told me that in the past. I don't mind. I take no offense to people just turning on my podcast to fall asleep to it. I do it also with a couple of podcasts, of which I'll go back and actually listen to the episodes when I'm lucid and awake. But not going to belabor it. Spotify, Apple Podcast, you can go and leave me a rating, a review. You can hit me up on a voice message, of which I want to start entertaining more. So the link is in the show notes. If you want to send a voice message, I want to start entertaining those. There was a moment where I wanted to do that, but then work was really stressful and I was really sick and not feeling well. And it was just really hard kind of juggling so many different things all at once. So, you know, that being said, Ko-fi, just think about it. A tip, remember, I mean, we have all these people, I see these videos all the time about how, you know, you're going to a cafe, a coffee shop, they don't really do anything, really. I'm not trying to at you guys. I know that you work hard and you guys are hard workers and it's a hard job being in the industry. I've been there, I've done that, I've served my time doing that kind of stuff. But that being said, I never even was given the opportunity to accept tips. So, you know, this whole like turning the tablet to guilt trip you into doing some tippage. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to guilt you, but consider it because I think I'm providing a little bit more quality content than just, you know, black coffee, even though I love black coffee and it's the only way I drink my coffee. Except for if I put a little maple syrup or a little honey in it. People are like, you put maple syrup in your... Yeah, I mean, like, it's a better source of sugar, you know? You could do pure sugar, but again, I'm always worried about, you know, the quality of what pure sugar is. So, yeah, honey, maple syrup. Maple syrup, I was looking at how they actually, you know, get maple syrup. It's such an interesting process. I love it. I love trees. Trees are amazing. So cool. It comes out a lot of the time in a clear color or like a translucent color. Trans means across. Lucent comes from lux lucis, which means light. So it's like light that travels through. Because when you have something that's translucent, light goes through that object. You can see through it. Remember, eyesight, everything that you see is just a reflection of different light particles hitting your eyes in different wavelengths, different spectra, if you will. All right, I'm going to shut up. Well, let's get into Heracles. So sit back, relax, consider helping out your homie boy right now. And yeah, or you can do the Gut Guardian, $10 off your order with Liam 64728. I actually don't know if that code still works. So if you use that code and it doesn't work, I'm sorry. Don't buy the product. It's fine. I was working with them for a hot second, but I don't know if that stands the test of time. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, way off in a faraway land, one night, Alcides was born. A storm raged across Thebes, mirroring the tempest within the heart of Queen Alcmene. Two infants lay cradled in her arms, one her own, the other the demigod son of Zeus, the king of Olympus. This demigod, yet to be known as Heracles, was born under a curse. Hera, Zeus's jealous wife, despised the child and vowed his destruction. Even in his infancy, Heracles displayed his extraordinary strength. Legend says he strangled two serpents sent by Hera while still in his crib. As he grew, his prowess in wrestling, archery, and swordsmanship became unmatched. Yet, a darkness, a foreboding sense lurked within him. One fateful day, Hera's machinations bore fruit. She drove Heracles mad, and in a fit of rage, he slaughtered his own wife and children. Grief-stricken and yearning for redemption, Heracles sought guidance from the Oracle of Delphi. The pronouncement was harsh. He would serve Eurystheus, his weak and cowardly cousin, for 12 years and complete 10 seemingly impossible tasks. The 12 labors. The first labor pitted Heracles against the Nemean lion, a beast with an impenetrable hide. Using his cunning, Heracles lured the lion into the cave, where he strangled it with his bare hands. Each subsequent labor tested Heracles' strength, wit, and courage. He slew the multi-headed hydra, captured the Cretan bull, and cleaned the Augean stables. Knowing to be a seemingly endless task. Through these labors, Heracles became a symbol of perseverance. He faced terrifying creatures like the nine-headed Lernaean Hydra, outwitted the cunning king Augeas, and he even ventured into the underworld to capture Cerberus, the three-headed guard dog. Each victory solidified his reputation as a hero, but also served as a constant reminder of his servitude. Eurystheus, ever fearful of Heracles, constantly tried to sabotage him, but Heracles, driven by a desire for atonement, never faltered. He even completed two additional labors after Eurystheus cheated him, retrieving the golden apples of the Hesperides and capturing Cerberus. Finally, freed from his servitude, Heracles continued his adventures. He even fell in love with Deianira, who, tricked by the centaur Nessus, unknowingly gave Heracles a garment laced with poison. In excruciating pain, Heracles realized his fate. He built a pyre on Mount Etna, and with the help of the passing hero, lit the flames. The mortal part of Heracles perished, but the divine, acknowledged by the gods, ascended to the Mount Olympus. There, he was reconciled with Hera and even married Hebe, the goddess of youth. The myth of Heracles is a tapestry woven with themes of strength and redemption and consequences of divine wrath. It served kind of back then as this explanation for the natural world for the ancient Greeks, the constellations of Hercules and Leo were believed to represent the hero and his slain Nemean lion. The myth also offered a cautionary tale about the dangers of uncontrolled rage and the importance of accepting responsibilities for one's actions. Big time. But the ideological implications of the myth extend beyond the physical world. We've got Heracles' labors that represent the trials and tribulations that we all face in life. There's a lot of this redemption quality in a lot of these myths, right? The Nemean lion embodies the challenges that seemed insurmountable, while the Hydra symbolizes the Hydra-headed problems that we encounter in our daily life. These three-headed problems. There's more than one thing, you know? It's like how when I would think about teaching, especially when I was feeling so sick and, you know, just barely plodding along, it's like you feel like in your mind, it's like you're rushing from one portion of, like, hypothetically speaking, think about your mind as like a room, and you have all these filing cabinets in this room that are all around from one corner to the other room, a corner to the other corner to the other corner. It reminds me of that movie, that Disney Pixar movie that I forget the name of, but it's like that, but you're rushing from one corner to the other corner of the room, to the other corner of the room, while papers are flying and you're trying to, you know, sift through and kind of organize and make sure that you're tackling the responsibilities of one thing and the other thing. And then you got to also be over here. And then, wait, you got to be over here also. And then, oh, wait, no, over there as well. That's kind of our life a lot of the time. Not always, but in portions, right? Hydra-headed problems, if you will. Just as Heracles persevered, the myth encouraged us to confront our obstacles with courage and determination and know that we can do it and that we can keep on keeping on. There's a theme that seems to be ever present as we move forward here, where we know that we can do it. We just got to keep on keeping on and find a way. Furthermore, the myth explores the tension between human and divine. Hera's just kind of a bitter person in general. And, you know, I just wish that Hera would just be like, yo, Zeus, this is a toxic relationship. You're a poopy butthole. You keep on cheating on me. I'm sick of all this crap. I'm going to be my own strong woman and tell you that you got to go and get out of here, man. Kick him to the curb. I wish there wasn't so much male chauvinism and all this stuff. But then again, you know, that's just history and that's just life. And now that we're coming to fruition and giving women the credit that they have needed and deserved for so long. So by design, Hera is meant to be this petty individual, but in another day and age, Hera probably would have been this diva woman that would have been like, yo, Zeus, get the hell out of here, man. I'm done with you, and I'm done with your BS. I'm done with your lying. I'm done with you going behind my back. See, the problem with Hera is that she always punishes all the people that Zeus cheats on her with. I hope I said that correctly. Rather than punishing Zeus, she punishes, like, think about when she punishes Io for some, or when she punishes, just about anybody and everybody that Zeus ends up doing a little skibbity-bopping with. So, yeah, it goes to show that divinity and that mortality and the kind of that dichotomy of it. There's that tension. Heracles, as this demigod, embodies duality, right? Because half of him is the same as all of us. And then half of him is of the divine. So there's there are like two aspects of him, his identity that pulls him from one portion of the world to another portion of the world. It's like he's in between, like in this purgatory limbo. He possesses immense strength, but is also susceptible to the human flaws. Why are we fallible? I don't know, but it just is what it is. I wasn't consulted in the design phase, so you got to hit up God for that one, or whomever you believe in order. Or if you're atheist and you are without God, because that is what etymologically atheist means. So if you are an atheist and you actually are still questioning, then you really should consider yourself agnostic, because I think that people don't really understand when they subscribe and say that they are something without actually having the well-vetted knowledge behind that word. So if you're atheist, but you're more so questioning, then I would say that you're agnostic, because nostein in the Greek means knowing. So if you're agnostic, you are without knowing, and in this case, a spiritual god, an entity, if you will, a higher being. All in all, this resonates with the human desire to connect with the divine and the constant struggle to overcome our limitations with that dichotomy. Otomy, cutting, dike, two, the cutting between two, essentially, duality, yin and yang, the good and the bad, the good in the bad and the bad in the good. That's what the yin and the yang are. That's when, if you look at a yin-yang, black in the white, bad in the good, white in the black, good in the bad. There you go. So to wrap it up, this myth of Heracles continues to resonate today because it speaks to the universal human experience in our condition. It reminds us that strength comes in many forms, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, all the ways. I already said physical. It teaches us that forgiveness, even from the gods, is possible. Forgiveness is even possible with yourself. Ultimately, the story of Heracles is a testament to the human spirit's enduring capacity to overcome adversity and achieve greatness, because you all are capable of so much more. You got to know it, though. I know it, but you have to know it, because you're the main character of this video game that's called life. I'm the main character of my video game, but I'm trying to level up. Are you trying to level up? Let's try and level up together. And with that being said, Tempus est discedere.